No new messages and 5 saved messages. You are at the main menu. Saved messages, Sunday, 1:07 p.m.
Bill, this is Condor. I was just wondering if you...
Message deleted. Saved message, Thursday, February 14th, 1:20 p.m.
Jim, this is Jerry from Strawberry Point, Iowa. I didn't know if you're looking for any heifers. I got a guy that just got out of the hospital. He's not... He had a... appendicitis rupture, and then he got gangrene, so he can't do anything, and his wife's taking care of these heifers. He's got 42 bred heifers. They are 4 months bred, and they weigh 1175 plus, and calfhood vaccinated, pregnant checked, all shots and everything. If you get this message, give me a call back at 6612, or my home number is 6457. Thanks.
Second episode of Radio Freak America. I'm Dual Parallel. I'm joined by Condor and Rax.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
And with a K.
Condor with a K.
Right.
Famous handle. When I heard that message, I was laughing my ass off. That was so funny. And I mean, how do you get such a random message that good? I've never, ever gotten the wrong number that was... so entertaining.
Well, now, Dual, come on, admit it, man. You've been hacking the CO, and you've been redirecting people's phone lines to your house just to get material.
That's right, especially the ranchers.
Yeah,
I've been getting all the inside scoops on sides of beef and hogs heads.
Oh man, you're into them heifers.
Oh, I cannot let my woman listen to this show. I've got some other, you know. Just in a week, I got two crazy messages. I got one, and this was some drunk lady. She was loaded, and it was like 5:30 in the morning. She just came off a bender, and she called my house. I don't know. She thought it was the dancewear company or something. I could barely understand her. Totally unintelligible speech, slurring, mixing tenses. It was horrible. I wish I got more of those almost, you know. Maybe I'll just put my number out on, at random on payphones and stuff and see what I get and record it and then change my number. I think it's a blast.
Well, my problem that I get, my cell phone in the major metropolitan area that I'm in, there's, you know, multiple area codes. So there's some kid named Jason who has the same cell phone number as me but a different area code. So like about 2 o'clock in the morning. On Friday and Saturday nights, you know, I get these calls. Dude, where are you at, man? Like, if you're calling Jason, try this area code. Click.
Did you put that on your message?
No. Like when I answer the phone, I say that. So then they go, "Oh, my bad."
Yo, my bad, dog.
Yeah.
You need to forward it. You know, you just call forwarding. Get all your calls forwarded to this guy for a while and let him have some fun.
There you go.
So you know what? This is a lot of fun, but I'd like to talk about something a little serious. Last week we talked about RaiseTheFist.com. I've been reading on Slashdot about huge companies taking advantage of the DMCA and basically crushing any innovation, crushing any sort of technological advances. And I want to talk to the listeners about how they can help, how they can fight basically such oppression. Of course, you can write your congressman, you can ticket, you know, Free Dimitri, but there's other things you can do. And one of the best ways, and probably the most fun, is to continue what you're doing. Do not stop pushing the limits of technology. Keep hacking. And don't just focus on computers. Look at every facet of technology that exists and that is being introduced. I'd like to read something from a popular magazine, and many of our listeners, and I'm sure you, Condor and Raxel, associate with this. Every human being is born with an innate desire to learn, to explore his or her world and discover firsthand what things do and why. This natural curiosity can get one into trouble, of course, which is why parents of toddlers try to childproof their homes. Channeling natural curiosity into structured education is the goal of an institution society has created known as school. There's a problem, though. School is supposed to be neat, orderly, and structured. Natural curiosity has a tendency to be messy, disorderly, and unstructured. School, in many cases, has developed into a highly effective antidote to natural curiosity. But it's not 100% effective, and some of us remain curious about our world, and sometimes what's beyond it, even after spending 12, 16, or 20 years, quote, getting educated. Many hackers fall into that category, and maybe that's why there are relatively few hackers as a percentage of the general population. I think that those two paragraphs sum up exactly what I want the listeners to feel, what I want the listeners to do, and that's to keep learning, to keep fighting all the corporations and all the officials who have an agenda, especially after 9/11, who want to keep you from learning new things about technology and pushing the limits. Now, actually, I have to admit something. I had my own agenda reading these two paragraphs, and that's that I replaced the word hams with hackers. Many hams fall into that category, and maybe that's why there are relatively few hams as a percentage of the general population. This passage I read is from Amateur Radio. That's right, I'm here today to talk to you about RF technology and how people should utilize that, how hackers should utilize RF technology and explore it to keep pushing the limits, to keep the DMCA from keeping us down. Now, I actually have my ham license, and the tests are easy now. They've actually made them a lot easier. You don't have to know code, which is Morse code. I had this great book from Gordon West. I read it once and took the test, and I bet half of our listeners, I bet you, Condor and Rax, could probably take it right now and pass. I think you need like 75%.
I've been waiting to get my license.
Don't wait.
Two of his books, not his recent one.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
I think they might have released new questions, I'm not sure, but, you know, $10 is worth it. And, you know, it's almost just basic electricity, you know, it's basic electronics. And antennas, RF frequency, it's a blast. And it's so easy to get into RF. It doesn't take much money at all. I bet it wouldn't take anything if you just think about it differently. If somebody wanted to get into radio frequency, they could get their basic AM/FM portable stereo that they have and try to pick up stations. Try to pick up different stations at different times, you know? Can I pick up this station at sunset? can I pick up this station at sunrise? It's infinite.
That's how I started into computers.
Really? With RF?
Same to my scanner.
No kidding. What kind of scanner do you have?
I have a RadioShack Pro 51.
Excellent. Now, does that get the 800 megahertz? Not the cellular, but the other bands?
It's 900 and a little bit of 800.
Really? Now, I have the Pro 76. When I got into it, I bought... that's a little new. I think it's a little newer, so I might have gotten into it later than you even. It was the cheapest scanner they had. I think it was like $90, and I had so much fun. People, believe it or not, people still use 10 and 25 channel cordless phones. And hey, they're broadcasting, and it's a blast to listen to. I don't do anything malicious, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's fun. I mean, I don't record them. I just listen.
Yeah, yeah. It's plain fun.
You know what a lot of people are doing with, they're revisiting the technology and all the antenna stuff and that. It is with all the neighborhood area networking and, the 802.11b wireless that they're trying to build an infrastructure for free data communication. So you go on the sites and you see things about the Pringle can antenna. It's a Yagi antenna, basically, that they build with threaded rod and washers and stuff, and to house it inside a Pringle can. So they're taking all that same type of ideas and all that information from antennas and all the propagational theory and everything, and they're applying all that to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, how perfect is that? The merging of RF and computers.
No, that site is where they have that.
You can go into Bay Area Wireless User Group, and we'll put all these all the links that we talk about in the show. Will get published up on the site, so we don't have to give out URLs on the air. But tons of places you can go and get that kind of information. They're even doing like tests now, saying which antenna design is the best and all that. So you can take and marry and merge that old technology, the old freaking and hacking kind of stuff with the new stuff. And what they say: those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly. And the website is oldschoolfreak.com. That's school with a K, freak with a PH. And Rex is right. We'll have all the show notes with all the links probably about a week after every show.
The paragraph is exactly right. I especially like the school part.
Yeah, I was sleeping in school, and I got A's. And I know a lot of other people that, I've met some people that didn't even make it to high school. They were just so bored, but they're Mensa. It's unbelievable. Did anybody ever feel that? Did you ever feel stifled or put in a box at school?
I think we probably all felt that at one time or other, but it wasn't really any particular challenge. Now, I always enjoyed school.
Oh, me too.
But there wasn't really a whole lot of really in deep learning kind of going on. And I think basically when you're talking like elementary school and high school and that type of thing, you're really just building a foundation. You're learning how to learn. Even when I finished college and I took, I was in a program or analyst course, and all I really learned, I didn't end up doing assembler programming on the VAX 11780 when I got out of college, mm-hmm. but, you learn how to learn, and you learn how to synthesize and learn how to think and how to apply those things. So, I failed calculus, big deal. But, I'm doing okay now with that, and, I didn't go into a particular field where that was useful to me, but I think that's... probably kids everywhere can relate to that. It's like, how am I going to use this out in the real world? So that's why there's, so many other classes we mentioned about, like the Cisco classes and that are going on, at high schools and colleges now. You can see some application for that as opposed to, if a train leaves Chicago at 3 a.m., how is that really going to help anybody,
Yeah, kids think it's a little vague. I totally agree with you, Rex. Not to mention the social training. People need to know how to interact. I know that's one bad thing I think that homeschooling lacks dearly, and that's they don't get the social training. Regardless, they should start teaching RF in schools, for crying out loud.
Right.
In fact, I bet you there's some schools that might have ham programs, at least after school. I think that'd be phenomenal training for kids. And I shouldn't say training. I mean education and fun.
I think you should start teaching more advanced subjects other than coloring and other stuff in middle school, in elementary school, because that's where your knowledge really, you absorb stuff like more than a sponge.
Well, keep in mind, though, too, that schools, are institutions, and changing an institution is a very, 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 very slow process. when you were reading that paragraph, I was just did a little looking up on the net here too. The there was a guy named Seymour Papert. He was the guy who invented the Logo programming language at MIT in Boston, and he's has a book called Rethinking Schools, the Children's Machine: Rethinking Schools in the Age of the Computer. And he talks about one of the things, like when computers were first brought into schools, I mean, they had the chance of revolutionizing everything. Well, what the school, like any other system, you know, seeks to protect itself. So what the school did was institutionalize technology, and rather than being this radical thing, they institutionalized it. So they put the technology in a lab, and then the children were brought into the lab to do the things, and, you know, it was kind of separated. So schools are institutions, and there was another great quote from this book, just since we're on the subject. He said, in the start of this book, Papert was saying, you know, take a group of time travelers from 100 years ago. The one group is doctors and the other group is teachers. Bring doctors into the modern day and put them in a hospital, and they wouldn't have a clue what's going on. You know, all the equipment, all the, you know, anesthetics, all everything being sterile, they wouldn't have any idea what's going on. If they were watching an operation, they might be able to guess, you know, what organ they were going after, but that's about it. Take a group of teachers from 100 years ago. Put them in a classroom today, okay? They wouldn't know overhead projectors. They wouldn't understand the whiteboard. But you give them a little bit of time, and they could pick up right away and start teaching. So in an age where everything else has gone through such radical change, why hasn't schools and teaching? It's kind of a rhetorical question, but...
And you know what? That should be the one place, the one institution where change is unheralded. Computers should not be there to hang your Thanksgiving Day decorations. They should be on every student's desk and being used constantly.
Well, here's the other thing too. First of all, schools are one place where the budgeting is so tough, so it's hard to get stuff in that in there. But once you do, you have the thing to deal with, especially these teachers who have been in there forever, and they don't know about computers, and the kids know more about computers, and they have more powerful computers at home than they do at school, and the idea of using that, you know, is frightening to the teachers. But it has to get to the point where technology is a tool. It's like a pencil. When you're a child, you have to learn how to hold a pencil. You have to learn how to write your letters. You have to learn how to sharpen the pencil. But after a while, you know, they don't have pencil proficiency tests in high school. It's a tool that you use to accomplish a task. And
that's for president.
No, thanks, man. I don't do politics. But anyway, so you do that kind of stuff, and you know, schools are slowly starting to come around, but it's obviously a lot slower than most of us and as it's sometimes been termed, the digerati, you know, the digital elite or whatever label they want to put on us, you know, want to see happen with it. I'll get off my soapbox now.
Thank you. They who have power have the computers. I was using Apple IIe's actually in high school programming BASIC, and I thought they were actually fairly advanced. They had this huge lab, and it was nice. It was really nice. Actually, I was using Commodore PET, and I think in sixth grade, in this special class, and not short bus special either. It was nice. I think I was very fortunate.
Well, but you probably go back to that same school, and they probably have those same computers in there still to this.
Oh man, I hope not for the kids today.
Never mind.
I think kids today are probably much more sophisticated too, like Condor was talking about. They probably need much more advanced classes for the younger kids.
I mean, your personality and your knowledge really develops when you're young, around age 7 to age 10.
Oh, yeah?
And I can see that in myself, how I act, how I learned, and what I learned around that age, and that's how I act. It's hard to stop.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think you're, first of all, probably pretty exceptional to even realize what went on and how you changed and grown. Now we need to make sure that teachers see that, especially like Rax was talking about, those who are established and those who need to, well, change and grow with the times.
It's a slow process.
Yeah, it is. It is for anything, especially institutions. I can't stress it to the listeners enough how fun RF is. Get a shortwave radio, buy an inexpensive scanner, go to a hamfest. Hamfests are a blast. Get your test, get your tech license. The learning is endless. Everything from wave propagation, you know, integrating weather with RF. You can do, for anybody who's freaking, you can get phone patches through a repeater on your ham radio. Building your own antennas, like Rack said, out of a Pringles can or a coffee can. It's the fun is endless. I think right now Radio Shack is clearing out their 49 megahertz 1 and 2 channel handhelds for like $5 and $10. And who knows, you could build tons of projects with that.
With that, what channel frequency?
They're like 49 megahertz, and they're like 1 or 2 channel VHF radios. I think the one channel's $5, and the 2 channel's $10, and it's a great deal. I mean, just loads of fun.
I would get one for real cheap to build projects. But I love my Pro 51.
Oh, I bet those are blast, especially if you get some 800 megahertz range.
I get the 900.
That's good. Yeah, you probably pick. There are a lot of places I know. Cities where the local law enforcement are now on the digital range, and you can't pick them up. But many more that I found are still on, VHF, around the 127 range. So it's a lot of fun. You can go hear your police officers. You know, one of the most fun things to listen to. This is gonna sound weird, but one of the most fun frequencies I listened to was Taxi Dispatch. Man, that was fun. Listening to the dispatcher yell at all these wacko cabbies. I'd only get one way, they were going out on another frequency, but man, that was a blast.
Was it like the TV show Taxi?
It was better. It was way better, because I could picture the locations, and I could just see this, gnarled up, smoking guy yelling at these cabbies. It was great. You get to make your own picture in your head. Before the show, of course, everybody, all listeners read Slashdot. I read Slashdot multiple times a day. I know Rax does, too.
Oh, yeah.
Before the show, Condor was talking about Microsoft and some friendly piece of software they placed in XP. You want to tell the listeners about that?
Windows Media Player is what I'm pretty sure it is. I mean, don't quote me on any of this. Find out for yourself. I'm pretty sure that Windows XP and Windows Media Player, if you play a DVD on Windows Media Player or on XP, it essentially records it. It records the volume, it records the title and all the other information, sends it to Microsoft, and Microsoft, they're a big company, they're probably selling it. I can't say for sure what they're doing, but they're probably selling it, and
I'm sure you're right.
And you really can't stop this. I mean, Microsoft knows they have the market. You really, there's no other choice other than Linux.
Here's the thing. It was on February 21st, and the post on Slashdot says the AP, which is the Associated Press, is reporting that there is spyware within Media's Player 8, which ships with XP, which records the song titles and DVD titles that the user listens or views in Windows Media Player 8. Microsoft execs claim no marketing use right now, but they won't rule it out. Looks like less of a big deal than the article made it out to be, but it could definitely be used for evil.
Now, are they linking... I'm sorry if I missed this. Are they linking your viewing habits with personal information?
Obviously, that's the next step. If you consider that you had to go through the registration process with XP for those people using it and not knowing the little workaround that we can talk about in a second. But when that stuff gets linked, they have a uniquely identifiable number that they could link with the song and DVD titles that you're watching.
Just wait for the next Windows. We'll find out.
Yeah. Wait for the next release.
Or get your favorite NIX or BSD build and do stuff with that.
Amen to that.
That's the thing, though, that these, like old people, they will still remain victims of that, or not necessarily old people, but people that don't know about computers, they just say, oh, yeah, I have a computer, I use AOL, I watch my movies on DVD player. They can't help it because they don't really have a choice because they don't know how to use Linux or something. I mean,
right. Captive audience.
Choice. It ships with Windows on it.
Well, you could say that a lot about everything else in society before the show was kicking off. Duel and I were talking about the TV being, the mind-numbing thing where everything is pre-digested and given to you so you don't have to think about it. And it's the same type of thing with computers. I mean, that pardon the pun here, Duel, but a lot of old-school people out there, old-school internet, like back in my day when I started on the internet, we didn't have any GUIs. You had to do everything from a bash prompt. But, as you would do that type of thing, a lot of people said, you get all these AOL people and all these other dial-up people on there, and it's going to ruin the internet, which remains to be seen if it really has or hasn't been, but, you know, that's the thing. There's the public, you know, the great unwashed out there. Then there's always, you know, the dissenters and the elites and everything else that are you know, pushing things to the limit. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about, isn't it, Dual?
Exactly. And if you want to read more about it, if you want to keep pushing the limits, go to oldschoolfreak.com. I think I can tie both of these things together, this Windows Media Player crap and the crap that is the media, and that is we need to be our own media. We, meaning the subculture, I hate to say it, but the cyberculture that are hackers, freakers. We need to make more radio shows like this. And like I said last show, I can't get enough of Off the Hook. I can't get enough of now Rant Radio and Hacker Mind. That's why we're doing this show, so other people can share in alternative thinking and share their ideas, pushing technology, and it won't be tracked by some huge corporation.
So that was the other thing too, Dual, like we were saying when we were talking offline. Another entendre for the name Radio Freak America, you know, free K, free knowledge, you know.
Keep, that's right.
It's not only give knowledge out for free, but keep knowledge free.
Exactly. That's what that big K means. It's knowledge, and we want everybody to have the knowledge. We want everybody to create it, and I want it. I want it back. If I'm creating something, give me more knowledge back. Give me feedback. Give me more shows. Give me more hacks. Give me more text files. My hunger is insatiable.
Knowledge doesn't stop. It keeps on going. I mean,
exactly. But
I first started off playing games. I learned HTML that I built on from that. And I heard people say, "Oh, HTML, I know that. It's stupid. Don't even learn it. It's a waste of time. Don't bother with it." But instead, I wanted to know more. I went on websites about HTML. I learned about JavaScript, and I went on from that. You know, there's e-commerce, and there's security for securing e-commerce, and that's how it just builds. It doesn't stop.
Exactly. And we must keep, and as we keep learning, we must keep creating from the knowledge we've gained.
Also, I'm sure if there's any viewers, listeners, sorry, I'm sure Dual wouldn't mind you sending a message, an email to him, saying that you want to participate in this.
Anytime. I would love to have people on the show. If you got something interesting you want to talk about, yeah, drop me a line, dual@oldschoolfreak.com, and we'll get you on the show. I would love to have anybody that has something good to talk about on the show.
Here's that little piece of other little piece of free knowledge I was hinting about, that you can find some information on the internet. But if you are playing around with Windows XP, you know, you have 30 days to register it. And long story made short, it, you know, identifies all kinds of things like your CPU processor ID and all this stuff. And if you change, you know, more than one component on your hardware, you have to go off and get permission from Microsoft to use that again, basically. Well,
right. Hardware signature.
Hardware signatures. Well, one of the things you do, I mean, you make sure, first of all, just for your own safety and sanity, make sure you turn off any, cut out all identifying labels, as the old song goes, but you shut off that processor ID and that. But basically, you go in, tell your XP machine that it is a laptop and that you're docked, and lo and behold, it doesn't ask you to do that registration anymore, and you'd have to change, instead of one of 10 possible things being changed, it only looks at a couple of few of those things. So go in, set up your XP box as a docked laptop, and that annoying registration thing goes away.
That's a great workaround. Now, do either of you guys use XP?
Oh, yeah, I play with it, too.
How about you, Condor?
What?
You use XP at all?
Oh.
Are you watching the screensavers?
No.
Yeah.
That ADD, man.
No doubt. Now,
Andy, how can you help with the screensavers?
It's a great show, and I miss it. I miss it a lot. I should probably get the satellite. I also read something on Slashdot about Microsoft and their legal troubles and them having to release source code. Now, boy, I'd like to see that. I'm no C expert, but I'd really like to see what goes on under Windows. Does anybody else have the same curiosity? Oh, everybody does. You know what? That's their holy grail. And it, you know what? It's everybody's holy grail. Everybody would love to see that source code.
It's the company crown jewels.
No doubt. And I really hope that it comes out.
Well, I doubt that it's ever really ever going to be released, but you know, except things that they specifically choose to. But what I took from that article is that this lawsuit with the state's attorneys general versus Microsoft, the federal courts said have appointed now an expert, quote unquote, to take a look at the source code for Windows and see if it's actually true that they cannot unbundle the operating system from the browser.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting thing because when they were talking about that with Windows 98, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's like Windows 98 Lite or something is the name of the site, and it's a little program you can get, and you can selectively choose not to install certain things, including, lo and behold, Internet Explorer, which Microsoft claimed was completely impossible to remove from the operating system.
And it works fine, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's
a whole lot less space.
Amazing. Yeah, it's a pretty big browser. What do you guys use for browsers? At work, I was using Linux for a long time, and I was using Conqueror. I was kind of forced, because of our common operating environment, in quotes, to go back to 2000. And we have a choice. We could use Netscape or IE. And, you know, I have to admit, I prefer IE. I think it's faster. I think it renders pages better. What do you guys use?
In the Windows platform, it's IE, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Netscape lost it a long time ago.
They did, unfortunately. And 6 is just, it's too fat. It's just not cutting it.
The reason is because IEs, when you click on, there's a little button that you can push, the quick launch. It loads real quick, faster than Netscape.
You like that, huh? Yeah, and I think I found the same speed. I also noticed... Now, I made the website, I learned HTML and put up the website, and I think 80% of internet users use IE. So, honestly, I basically designed the site to look good in IE. It looks really good in Conqueror. I think I put that on the site, too. And I think it looks all right in the new 6.0 and up Netscape, but boy, those old ones, it's horrible. It's really bad, and I really think they were sticking to the HTML standards, but boy, it just looks like crap. You're right, Rex. They've lost it a long time ago.
There was a thing in the Onion a couple of years ago, or however long ago it was, about the website, the parody news kind of media website called TheOnion.com.
Yeah.
And said, you know, Netscape 6.0 browser is launched, and for the 12 people who are still using it, they were delighted.
That's so true. That is so true. Yeah, I tried it for about 5 seconds and then left it.
There was even an article in one of the networking magazines recently about, you know, AOL, Time Warner, the big conglomerate. Well, someone decided, gee, it would be a good idea if we used our own browser product. So they, company-wide, or in this one division-wide, stopped using Outlook and started using Netscape's Mail. And while they're going on about all the nasty things that happened with it, and we'll post a link for this too so you can read about this. But, I mean, the things like they couldn't build distribution lists anymore to mail out stuff. Automatically filtered, you know, sometimes it's seeming almost randomly started filtering things into other folders under email, and it basically just became unusable. So the product really slid downhill. Now, on the other hand, you know, they're taking, the whole Mozilla project is another story, and a lot of people are putting a lot of work into that to try to rebuild that up into something worthwhile. But plain old Netscape by itself, I'm sorry, it's really not happening.
Pass. Yeah, Mozilla is really nice, actually. I actually had that on the site as the preferred browser, but then I started using Conqueror 2.2.1, and it just blew it away. But Mozilla is a nice browser.
Yeah.
Mozilla is a nice browser. Did anybody read about the hyperlink patent? And that silliness?
Oh, man, yeah.
What a bunch of malarkey.
You guys have been following that. The basic thing is British Telecom, BT, there's a lot in England, you know, a lot of the governmental institutions, it's, you know, a lot more socialized than the U.S., so they control, the telephone and mail system is all controlled, controlled by the government, which isn't saying it's a bad thing, but that's just the way it is. So they claim they have a patent on the use of hyperlinking. And now the interesting thing is the patent has expired in Britain and most of Europe, but the patent laws in the U.S. are still in force. I mean, they have a certain amount of time. So BT, British Telecom, is suing Prodigy for their use, for Prodigy's use of hyperlinking back in the 80s. And the thought is if they can win against Prodigy, they're going to use this as case law and go against the other companies. So now the interesting thing is, and again we'll post this up on the website, it's called MouseSight at Stanford University, and they have 90 minutes worth of video going back to December 9th, 1968, when Doug Engelbart and 17 researchers at Stanford Research Institute in Palo Alto, in Menlo Park, California, demonstrated things like the mouse, hyperlinking, and all kinds of stuff. So, they're not going to have a leg to stand on when the courts get a hold of this. But for anyone into the retro or the old school, as we may say, computing stuff, it is a very cool thing to see. See the mouse originally where it was basically this wooden brick. It's interesting. Engelbart says, I'm sorry, I don't know why we called it the mouse. We just started calling that and it stuck. So if you ever wondered why it was called a mouse, one of the inventors of it kind of apologizes.
Yeah, and look up why they call computer glitches bugs, too, while you're at it. Yeah, old school is right. That's before most of our listeners were probably born, late 60s. I want to make a few phone calls. Actually, Condor gave me a really cool number. I want to try it. Actually, I haven't tried it, but just the sound of it sounds really cool. And actually, why is it so cool? Because we're going to try a little social engineering on the air.
And this is gotten from trashing. Actually, recycling.
No, you can say trashing. Now tell us about trashing. Have you partaken in the dumpster dive?
First time, this is what I got. I got just I was riding my bike because I had a perfect excuse. My dad works here, and I was trying to find his paper he lost here. So I was riding my bike and I found first targets were Cisco and Sun Microsystems, but Cisco had their trash indoors. You had to open up a garage door and then get inside and take away the trash.
Yeah, I figured they would be pretty savvy about security.
And after Sun Microsystems had these huge metal steel doors, just looked intimidating, honestly. And I just said, I'm not going to go through that much trouble. Just I don't even know what I would find if I would find anything. Because maybe they might empty the trash every day. I don't know. And I found this stuff. It was a PPP server guide and password list and a newly reimaged computer kind of guide what has been done and stuff like that. So trashing is beneficial.
It is, and beyond being beneficial, it's probably very effective.
Don't if you don't get anything your first time, don't quit. Try it again. I mean, not every thing is.
Isn't that basically the hacker's motto? I mean, you can almost learn more from a failure than a success. And just like trashing, just like hacking, just like freaking, if it doesn't work, try something else. Figure it out. Go to another dumpster. Try another IP. You'll figure it out. Now, I want to try one of the numbers you got from your expedition.
Sure.
First. So, Rax, can we call you back?
Okay.
All right, man. All right, Condor. I'm going to flash over. Now, this is... Well, I'm not going to say the name. And if the listeners want to bust out a DT Metacoder, that's fine. All right, I'll flash over. I'll be right back. Dialing. Condor.
Thank you for calling the Insignia Help Desk. Currently, there are no known major system outages. Please hold. While you're holding, you will hear ringing while waiting to speak to the next available analyst.
Well,
your call will
ooh, an analyst.
Was received.
We get to talk to an analyst, Condor.
Me? Wait.
I'll try it out.
Sure, go ahead. I was ready for this.
I am. La la la. We get to hear ringing, they said. And they were true. They were correct. They were speaking the truth. I wonder what an analyst does.
Go ahead, talk.
Oh, I'll talk, don't worry. Well, we might not get anybody. I'll be sad if we don't. But I've got big computer troubles, man.
Yeah.
Insignia Help Desk, after hour cell phone. Please leave your name, area code, phone number, and a detailed message, and someone will return your call as soon as possible. This voicemail is monitored regularly outside of normal business hours. Weekdays between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, please contact the regular Insignia Help Desk. Thank you.
To leave a voice message, press 1.
Hi, this is Bob Zawinski, and I'm in accounting, and I'm using XP, and I read this thing that Windows Media Player 8, now maybe I shouldn't be doing this at work, but sometimes I watch DVDs while I'm crunching numbers, you know, I'm a big-time number cruncher, that it tracks what I watch, and that's horrible. So I want to know if you guys can help me out, okay? Get one of your analysts down here and give me a call, okay? I appreciate it. Bob Zawinski. Bye-bye.
Good.
Is that good or not?
Good.
That was excellent, actually.
Fixing that.
I hope they don't get my number. That's fine. Okay, now another thing, another number I want to call. We were talking about this last week, was OneBox. I got this great service, and they made it better, but it didn't work, and it frustrated me. But now it works. It works every time. Before, every time I called this 866 number, which I dig, I would always get it busy, or it would ring and ring and ring. But now, every time I call, it works flawlessly. I've been leaving messages for you. I think you've left me a couple. And I just love it. And you enjoy it, I'm assuming?
Well, I like listening because I can go to any phone. I can dial up. It's free, toll free. And I can dial up and I can listen to my email. I can send email. I can listen to voicemail. I have voicemail, fax. It's great.
It is. It's phenomenal. And I want to prove it to the listeners that it works now. And actually, I'm going to call your voicemail.
Right.
Now, what did I do? I had your number. I got it right here. Here we go.
Welcome. Please enter the 4-digit extension of the mailbox you are trying to reach now. You have reached
Condor.
Record your message or send a fax at the tone. Press star to access your mailbox.
Hi, Condor. This is Bob Zawinski, the XP user. Yeah, we're making like an infinite loop now because we're recording right now and you're going to get this message later. Late. All right. You're going to get that message, by the way.
Okay.
Now, do you ever play that in your PC? Because
it plays pretty good.
It does. It works really nice. Now, the last one I want to call, actually, I think I put this on the site, so it might be a little redundant, but I'm going to do it anyways. Kmart, you know what, listeners? Kmart is a lot of fun. Actually, all the big chain stores are a blast. Target, Kmart, Walmart, you can mess around with so much technology there, not to mention get technology at dirt cheap prices. In fact, just last night, if I may, I purchased an FRS, that's the Family Radio Service base station, the 14-channel base station, for $10. So I'm going to throw this on my lab desk, and I'm going to scan all the time, and I'll listen to people driving by with their FRS radios. $10, you can't beat it. So go to those big stores, play with the phones. Simplicity itself to get on the paging system. What I want to call is a Kmart number, and this is actually the Kmart locator. And I just, this is like, it's like free help, it's free fun. You can, of course, you can use almost any 800 number as a DTMF decoder. But this one, you can it's a Kmart locator, so you can enter a zip code, and they'll tell you what city it is. You can also find out where they have Kodak picture makers, and you'll find stuff about those on the site and in recent issues of 2600. So I'm going to call that up. Hold on, Condor.
For choosing Kmart, to locate your nearest Kmart store, press 1. Kmart Pharmacy, please enter your 5-digit zip code.
All right, give me a zip code, dude. Never mind, I got one. Here we go.
You have entered 0730. 5. If this is correct, press 1.
It is.
This is in. Please have a pencil and paper ready when we locate the store nearest you. Our Jersey City, New Jersey Kmart is located on
Jersey City
Kellogg Street in the Stadium Plaza Shopping Center.
That's great. You don't have to call the postal service.
0-1-4-3-5-2-1-0-2. If you would like to be connected to this Kmart store, press 1.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you. Please wait while we transfer your call.
Awesome. All right. We're going to talk to Kmart in Jersey City.
What's he going to say?
I don't know. Here we go.
If you don't have anything, I have something.
Go for it.
Oh, New Jersey City Kmart. This is Andy. Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm with the Boy Scouts. I was just wondering if there's if I can get some sort of donations.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. If you can get what?
I'm with the Boy Scouts. I was wondering if I can get some sort of donations.
There really wouldn't be anybody here today, being the weekend and all. Best thing to do would be call back tomorrow morning, probably around between 9 and 10. And
okay.
You can ask for the store manager. His name
Thanks.
Is Horatio.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hey, bye-bye.
I have nothing else to say.
That's okay. maybe next show we'll call Horatio at the Jersey City Kmart. Hey, that guy was pretty nice though.
Yeah.
That guy was really nice. Now I'm gonna call Rax back up.
Yeah.
And we'll basically close out the show. Number. All right, I'm gonna have to pull the mic away real fast. Hold on. All right.
You're going to leave pretty soon, because time.
You do?
Yeah, I'm going to leave pretty
County
soon,
Morgue.
So you can do some more calling.
Hey, what's up, County Morgue?
Yeah.
We stab him, you slab him?
Yep, no, that's Milch Mortuary. You got the wrong number.
Oh, wonderful. Sorry. We'll call him up. We were trying to get a hold of the Jersey City Kmart, and we got you. Actually, we had some excellent phone calls. Called One Box, showed the listeners that it works great now, and it's a great service. Sign up. Actually pay for that premium service. Do you pay, Condor?
I want to.
You want to? Yeah, I probably will.
Remember, he's a poor student.
That's right, starving.
Starving student.
He's wasting away. And if you have to go, Condor, that's fine. We'll close out the show.
No. Okay. Go.
All right, good. And then we called, actually we called a number from Condor's first expedition, and that was, it wasn't very fruitful, but it was a good number nonetheless. We left them a nice message, wished them a nice happy weekend. And then,
One home?
No, nobody was home. It must have been after hours. And then we called, finally, Kmart. And actually, they were really nice. we got a Kmart in Jersey City, Jersey. So that was a lot of fun. I think that the message of this show was that everybody, all of our listeners, me included, should continue to push technology, to keep using it in ways that people tell you not to. Don't push that button. Don't do that. You're not supposed to use it in that way. Well, you know what? I want to. How do you think new ideas come about? How do you think new technologies are created? I think that message was conveyed faithfully. And actually, I think it's probably redundant. I don't think a lot of the listeners, nor you, Condor Rax, have to be told to keep exploring.
We do warranty, too. This product is void of warranty if label is removed. I did that in my trios. I had to know what it was. I mean, it was just so lightweight. I wanted to know what it was, and it was just a few transistors. And
right.
Not transistor, one transistor, two capacitors, and five resistors.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, why should I listen to a label? You know, I want to learn. I did that. I had I got a used PlayStation. It didn't work. And same thing. Void if you remove this label. It's hiding one of the screws. I ripped that off, pulled it apart, and I fixed it. You know, keep exploring. Pull that technology apart. You know what? If it's thousands of dollars, fine. Listen to the warranty stuff, then play with it afterwards. But don't ever become stale. Always change. Always grow. And it just so happens that our passion is technology, and we're going to continue. Another great show, you guys.
Here's a last little thing for listeners for the entertainment portion of this show. I just picked up today, and I guess it's just recently been released, but you got to get Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. It's been released on DVD. Awesome. It really 80s looking, you know, like set in 1985, but really 80s looking kind of thing, but very fun, you know, kind of techno kind of thing. John Big Boutte and YoYoDyne.com, and if anyone's read the whole internet guide by Ed Kroll, he'll know that you know, that's all the examples that he always uses is in reference to Buckaroo Banzai. So pick that up in a retail store near you. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you. This message is brought to you by Universal Pictures. And that's a real offbeat cyber kind of movie, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah. Now I didn't say how you end up picking it up, but you end up.
Rip that! Just don't watch it in XP.
There you go.
Excellent, excellent show, you guys. I thank you. And listeners, keep going to oldschoolfreak.com, and please submit anything you want. We can even get you on the show. We're looking into streaming. We're looking into alternate places to put the show up.
And spread the word. Tell your friends.
Tell everybody.
Be the knowledge.
Be a part of it. Thank you. This has been the second episode, Radio Freak America.
It's just that I can stand this undertone.